then I beat Kyle the second time.
Yeah, you're the taskmaster of fighting games.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God, he is taskmaster.
Uh-huh.
Oh God.
Fuck. I'm always recording.
Joe Taskmaster Duffelbag.
That's right. Welcome to the Metal Gamers Podcast. It's the episode 174. I hear a rumbling in the distance. What could it be?
Was my stomach.
However, I'm your host, Kyle McLemore, and I am joined with these fine gentlemen today. Looking fine as ever, Micah McGowan.
Hey, do you think one day we'll be able to topple Joe from that fucking high horse, that throne he sits upon? Do you think one day we'll be able to bring him down into the mud, knife him a few times and really make him feel it, twist it real good too, you think?
No, we're also joined with Joseph Defibaugh.
What? This horse is too high.
One day.
Josh Goodwin.
Does that horse fit through the Burger King drive-thru? I need some more onion rings.
Yeah, you kind of got me hooked on some onion rings.
Yeah.
No, under the clearance.
Hell yeah.
And Michael Greenwell.
I don't know what you're talking about, Micah. We beat him in Smash pretty frequently.
Not enough to topple him off of the horse that he set upon.
See, the thing is you have. You beat
Kyle
me.
Does
Kyle does too from time to time. Yeah. The thing is Micah doesn't. Micah's still on this continuous losing streak.
That's not true.
Because he doesn't play with us every time.
You beat, like the first time we streamed, Micah beat Joe.
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you.
It's recorded.
Joe, I think it's time we came clean. I paid Joe $2,000.
You never paid me any money.
I wish I found it as funny as Mike did because it hurt me financially, but I had to do this because Megan was getting upset. There was talks of like maybe separation. I had a lot on the line.
Are you gaslighting Mike right now? I should record you so you could see how crazy you're being.
Your sponsors were going to drop
my
you.
The sponsors. Which they ended up doing anyway. I'm not big on social media. It was a really
Ricky
bad.
Ricky Barley doesn't like losers.
We got shit to do. Let's move on.
This week's episode is brought to you by Video Game Rescue and the Nakama Anime Bar here in Jacksonville, Florida. Check out those places. We'll be there April 1st this podcast.
Both those places? That was kind of ambiguous.
No, we'll be at Nakama Anime Bar.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Join us so you can watch us roast our next friend's musical taste live.
This place is dope, says man who flew from Detroit to Jacksonville.
Who's that?
Well, it's an actual reference they can use.
It's an actual customer.
Yeah, an actual customer. Tell it to Wade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that guy.
Give it to Wade.
But guys, we got to bring it down a notch because I got to talk to you guys about something.
Oh, shit.
And I've been playing some video games this week. I've been playing The Witcher.
Again?
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's nothing big.
But you were clean.
Okay.
No, we're having a talk.
You were
this
clean.
Is just a segue.
No, I've been playing more Witcher. Fuck, Kyle.
Yeah, playing it. It's good. Good game.
Good. Ready.
Are you? You said you're. And you're already on Skellige. Are you?
You threw the baby in the fire.
Yeah,
you
threw the baby
in the fire. I found the tower that goes away. It came back. Why is this here? I did.
Yeah.
I found that on my way to fight a man, which is funny.
That'll happen.
I was doing the go around and beat everybody up.
The Fist of Fury.
The strongest man. Yeah.
God, I love where that quest ends up.
And I'm like, all right, now I'm going to this place. I'm like, oh, there's a tower problem here. I'm like, I came here to beat up a man. Like, not to
might as well solve this.
Might as well solve your tower mystery. Then beat the shit out of that guy. And you pointed some guy in the village. He's like, what? I'm coming for you, Greg.
I'm gonna be the champion of this place. I'm gonna make everyone, and then I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna be the champion of Skellige. I'm the fastest horseman.
Oh,
all
man.
The horse people are stupid. I have all your stuff now, and I'm gonna leave.
Geralt of Rivia is the Conor McGregor of the continent.
Yeah,
becomes champion, leaves.
Give me your belt.
Give me your belt.
Give me your belt.
Give me your belt.
I hope it did.
But aside from that, me and Micah jumped in the Exoprimal beta last weekend.
Ooh, how was that it? Juicy, juicy beta.
Yeah. It's when Micah mentioned that it was juicy, he was right.
Thank you. So when it's juicy, I will call it juicy. Okay?
I watched some gameplay videos.
When you get in.
I watched some gameplay videos. It looks really fun.
Yeah, we played up until the end of the beta. Literally. So it actually shut off on us, and I was kind of bummed out about it because I was having a good time.
I don't think you were.
Like, Capcom literally looked at Anthem and went, no one's using that IP. We'll just do it.
It's so funny, dude.
The only thing that's different is that you don't fly, and it's a little bit more bombastic. Like, it actually, fighting dinosaurs is fun.
Oh, no, more action.
It's Capcom being Capcom and just turning something in
like Devil May Cry meets Monster Hunter meets Earth Defense Force meets Dynasty Warriors.
I guess. I don't know.
You're not wrong on some of those counts, but like
EDF meets Anthem.
It feels more like Warframe or Anthem. Like Warframe is very much the exoskeleton suits. that you
Anthem
have.
Mixed with Darktide, because it's just exosuits with horde mechanics.
Just hordes of dinosaurs every time. And the story actually seems cool. There's like an AI running these simulations and just dumping dinosaurs on you. Like it has a very arcadey feel to it.
I didn't want to spoil anything for Kyle because there was a possibility this can happen during the matches. And thankfully it happened on his first match. We're in this kind of like city environment. We get to this giant skyscraper and the camera just like yoinks your view up, and a giant portal, much bigger than normal, that dumps out dinosaurs opens up above the tower, and it goes, and the AI voice comes on and it goes, "This is a raptor swarm. Consider this an opportunity for professional growth and prepare yourselves as the raptors begin to fall to the earth."
That sounds like GLaDOS.
It's very much it's a GLaDOS that, type of inner like voice, very monotone, but very delivering very funny lines.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, there's something about when the video game goes, "Hey, prep yourself, change," because like you can switch your mechs in like the middle of whatever you're doing. You can just switch.
Which is
so
awesome.
Like this can happen, and you can be like, "Oh, I'm not the right assault class for this." And you can just switch, and it gives you so much time as raptors fall to the fucking earth.
It
and they're like, not
cool.
dead yet. And then they charge you. And there's just so many. You can't, your screen is full of raptors and full of dinosaurs.
Enough
you can't
raptors
see.
To block
you see
out the sun.
You see Kyle just rip through a bunch of them with his ult. You see tanks fly through. Like, it is so much fun to just do dumb arcadey shoot stuff. But again, it does feel weird when you like complete all of that and you're like, "That felt awesome." And it goes, "You are completing objectives slower than the enemy team."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, fuck you, dude."
Yeah, like, fuck off, man. Like, he's right. It was annoying.
Still not good enough, son. Fuck you, dad.
Yeah. Still shooting raptors? Yeah, but I mean, if they have different modes that are just like straight, like just arcade mode with your friends,
like it gives you a little bit of a character creator, which is a little bit more preset. Like, "Oh, you can use these characters." And I'm sure that you're going to be able to customize your suits and all that, and like pick different colors and features and stuff like that, and make them look how you want.
That is all going
to
be in the game.
And it all is funneled into one mode right now. Obviously, it's just being a beta and trying to show you everything it can right now as fast as possible in a weekend. But you're right. Like, this mode is not the preferred way to do it for me. Like, if it was just PvE, going through with my friends, killing dinosaurs, that's great. The PvP element is actually pretty fun. Like, once you get to like the last area, it actually turns into a PvP. Like, you got to fight them now, which
it's
is
just
fun on top of the dinosaurs, and it's just chaotic. And I like
it. If you played Overwatch, which is like, "Oh, move the objective to the end point, and every now and then the enemy team will like fight back against you," like that game mode is fine. It's just weird when you piggyback it along this progress of PvE, and then it all comes down to the PvP, and it's like, well, then who gives a shit about the part I just did?
Mm-hmm.
So, but like a dedicated PvP team deathmatch, capture the flag, all that kind of stuff with these exosuits, dude, that'd be a ton of fun. Like, if you know exactly what you're getting into.
Fuck yeah.
Metric ton of fun.
Excited to see what they do. It passes the test of like the default assault class. You do the ultimate, you become stationary, and like all these machine guns just pop out of your chest and you fire them at the same time. I was like, yeah!
I've seen Gundam Wing.
Yep. It's like, all right. Yeah, I like that. That's it's making
that
me feel real good. Oh, shit. But yeah, that's it. All I've been playing.
Cool. Nice.
Micah, what you been up to?
I'll just start with this real quick. I jumped into the Diablo 4 beta. As of listening to this, obviously the open beta will be closed, but just my impressions of running through Diablo 4 with my experience with Diablo 3. A lot of fun. Playing the Sorcerer class, just trying to do a lot of AoE, a lot of ad clear, because I am playing somewhat by myself, but I have a couple clan mates from Destiny that are interested in it, so we've been playing together. So I've gotten to see like the Druid and the Necromancer in action, which those look like a lot of fun. Game looks good. The dungeon mechanics and stuff are really good, very quality of life. Like, "Oh, you ended the dungeon? You can just travel back to the beginning and you're good to go. You can get out of here."
Right.
Or you want to fast travel to the town you were just in? There's a waypoint. Just like, pull up the map, fast travel to that, sell your stuff, and then there's a rift right by the waypoint. Takes you right back to where you were.
That's a tie over from before.
Okay, cool. So I wasn't too sure. I know I fell off of Diablo 3 right after Reaper of Souls, so I know there was some stuff before and after, and I don't remember everything, but I mean, feels good. I do agree with Mike. They are definitely drop rates are I've already got legendary gear and stuff, like crazy drops, and I'm like, "Oh, it's definitely tuned up, like,
it's inflated
for sure."
Yeah, well, they want you to experience everything in a short amount of time. That is how a demo works. But they are real. I have a feeling, because we know what Activision Blizzard is right now, is that they're just showing us what they want, and we'll see the scummy predatory shit once that game lands.
I have seen some reviews and some takes that some people feel like a lot of the shit, the stuff you're talking about just now, is put in Diablo Immortal, and that those systems don't appear now in the beta. They do not appear now in the beta. That is what I can say. When the full product drops,
we'll see.
Who knows what tabs are there that weren't there before? I don't know.
I know it won't be as bad as Immortal.
Yeah.
But they will still be there.
Yeah, of course. There's a season pass tied with Diablo now. Like,
that's a red flag immediately.
So the thing. Yeah. So now my thing is, like, am I going to pay $60 for Diablo 4? It's a good chance. Will I pay another $10 for a battle pass? Like, get fucked, man. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, come on.
Oh, but if you don't pay that battle pass, you don't get to unlock the cosmetics.
You're gonna miss out.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now you're only getting things every other three or four.
Did you get your daily drop, you stupid baby?
Did you get your login reward? Come on.
Come on, you little fucking idiot. You better log in today.
Only 6 more hours to go for the daily.
Will you love me more if I give up Destiny for this? I don't know what you want from me, Diablo.
Do you want your unicorn skin or not?
Well, I do want the wolf pup thing. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That way I can show it off to people. Like, look, I'm better
but
than
the
you.
Other thing I have been playing as of, like, for just now a couple of hours logged in is some Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Same.
Yeah.
I picked it up last night after work, and since we didn't record last night, I decided to go ahead and get an hour or two in so I could talk about it.
Yeah. So I know where Mike's stopping point is. I'm a little bit ahead of him, so we won't even spoil where me and Mike have
been. I won't talk about anything other than differences.
I'll spoil where I'm at. It's still wrapped.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you did show me that you have a purchased copy of it.
There's a lot that I can say that I love about this game, but what I will say that I don't like about it is they have put a lot of dialogue stuff through the controller, and that is a choice.
Yeah. Man, that's every PS5 game right now.
Yeah, they're like the DualSense, like adaptive triggers and things that the controller.
I think you could turn it off.
Yeah, I'm sure you can, and I just need to do it.
Same.
The adaptive triggers are awesome. I think all that stuff is fine. But yeah. Like, don't put like cutscene dialogue through the speaker on the controller. Like, yeah. That is just a weird choice. On.
It's a PS5 gimmick thing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even have the headphones on, but it's just a weird choice.
I played a game that does that with the headphones on. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, that's such a terrible idea.
But I mean, me and Mike were talking earlier. Like, the things that the game changes that are big for me are just how claustrophobic it makes you feel. And the level design is top fucking notch.
It's like walking through your house that you grew up in, but it's been renovated and it's 30 years later.
Huh. Okay. So there's like something new there, just maybe on like a corner knew or something.
So you walk up to something. So like just for instance, the intro is one-to-one almost. Mm-hmm. A lot of the dialogue is one-to-one. It's shot almost exactly the same way with a couple of small details here and there. And except for they explain Leon's training a little
better. Yeah, they did.
They show
some scenes with Krieger.
That was something that was missing in the original. It's very small glances. It's nothing special. Yeah. But at the very end of that intro, it changes just a little bit. And now it's completely different. Now the way you start the game has a completely different context.
Yep.
And walking up to that first house, like, okay, I don't recognize any of this. Oh, I recognize that. And then you walk a little closer, you're like, I don't recognize this.
Yeah, so when you think about the original game, it's like brown and gray. And then this game, it is nighttime. You are walking and there's like brush in the way. It's hard to kind of see. You walk up on a house and you're kind of like, oh shit, there's like a house right here. Like, it's dark as fuck. I can barely see it. And then you get into the house. The only thing that's really lighting is like maybe a few candles, a lantern maybe. Like,
Mike
probably noticed as well as I did is I'm like, ooh, look at the power of the PS5. This house, two-story now instead of one-story.
It was two-story in the original.
Was it? Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember. There's like little...
But there's way more rooms. And there's a third story. There's a basement.
Yeah, the basement. Dude, going into a basement or a dark... Dude.
Fuck.
Megan, I have the privilege of going through this game right now as a fresh take, as a remake. Megan is going through watching me as never experiencing this game.
It is way more horror centric.
She sat down reading a book on her Kindle and stopped 10 minutes in. And dude, she has been gripped by like all of this game and just like what it's doing. We're getting into combat, shooting things. All of it feels visceral. But like, dude, the horror of just like tension of like going into a dark basement, just being like, I don't know what's going to happen now. This wasn't here before. I'm not familiar with this. Like,
what they keep doing, especially in this village area, except for the village square, which is almost exactly the one-to-one, except for a couple small things, mm-hmm. and the placement of items is almost exactly the same in a several things. Not completely, but there's like, you know, a red herb's there. It's for sure still there.
Yeah.
That first village thing, I could do that shit with my eyes closed in the original Resident Evil 4. I got my ass kicked in this. Like, because it is different. I feel like I'm playing my favorite game of all time again for the first time. Again.
Hell yeah.
Dude.
And it's really interesting.
That's a great endorsement.
I was running through the village. I ran into a spot that I knew would give me a moment of reprieve, and it yanked the carpet out from underneath me.
Yeah, don't tell.
I'm not saying anything. That's why I'm just saying, like, it took something that it knew you were going to do and went, nope. Like, that's not there for you. Or you go into something and you're like, I should be able to push something in front of this door here. Nope. That's not there this time.
There. Like, not there anymore.
So, like, it does count on you knowing the game, but then it fucks with you by taking that stuff away mm-hmm. from you or changing it in a way that's very clever.
And I feel like the order of, like, areas that you go into is the same. And what I think is super interesting about it is that when you first walk into that area, it is almost one-to-one until you turn the first corner, and then it's like, oh, that's way fucking different. So it's like just like the facade of the area is the same, but as soon as you get deeper than just the face value of it, you realize how much different it is. Yeah. But there was a cool moment where there's like that one area where people are throwing dynamite at you mm-hmm. pretty early on in the game, and the same person is in the... who gives a shit? the same person is in the same place from the original Resident Evil 4, and you can do the same thing by shooting the dynamite out of their hand and getting a head start. I was like, that feels good to like know that that's still there, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was looking for it.
Looking for the blue pendants in the village. They didn't put them in the same spot. And it's like,
oh, I love how that mechanic works now. Like the side quest thing kind of thing. Yeah. The merchant's interesting. It's weird.
I hate to be a stickler, but he doesn't.
I don't think you do.
He doesn't do the thing.
What do you mean he doesn't do the thing?
He doesn't say, what are you buying?
He literally says it as soon as you walk up.
He doesn't. I promise you, there is no more. There is no, what are you buying? What are you selling? I've been to him 4 times.
I have a video of it.
Okay. Fair enough. I will see it.
I have a video of it. Okay. I'll have Kirsten send it to me. She's the one who took it. He literally says, what are you buying?
So did they
the first time you come in.
So did they take a good game and made it gooder?
I wouldn't say it's better. I don't know yet.
I said gooder.
Gooder. I don't know if it's gooder yet because I don't have enough time in it, but it is something special, I think.
They have added some fun little things. There's charms. What? There's charms now. So
I haven't unlocked any.
So they do like really minor things where it's like, there's a crafting system in the game now. That's expanded upon.
Yeah, it's like they have in Resident Evil 2 and 3 Remake and Resident Evil 7 and 8. They brought that back in a big bad way that I think is really interesting.
Yeah, like you can craft ammo now, which is like super helpful. It's like, oh, you have a small resource in gunpowder, make shotgun ammo.
Well, you need more ammo in this because it is much harder.
Much harder, and enemies blend in.
You can't just shoot somebody in the knee, kick them, knife them while they're down, because knife has degradation now.
Yep.
So you have to be really specific about the way you do things.
But you can pick up kitchen knives. But that takes up inventory space now.
But they're disposable, and you can do some fucked up shit with them, you know?
So Megan saw me do the attach A case, and she was like, that's kind of a different kind of mechanic I wouldn't expect in the game. And then like 20, 30 minutes into 40 minutes in, she sees me doing it. She goes, I can see how this inventory thing is super addictive. Like, it just gets fun to manage shit. She goes, that's so much fun to like just look at. But cases will do different things now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the first case you have has a bonus. Like, we don't want to talk about it, but cases have bonuses. Which is interesting.
They are definitely, this game definitely feels more geared towards like a speed run, a second run through, like
making builds
essentially. Yeah, it's very interesting. Like, I cannot wait to beat the game so that then I can just see how fast I can do it, up the difficulty, which me and Mike were talking about earlier. Normal difficulty, still, that is tough.
So when you're starting the game, it gives you the three difficulties, and the hardcore one, it says, if you played Resident Evil 4 2005, and I was looking at that, I was like, oh, I played the fuck out of it, maybe I should do that. And I was like, I just want to enjoy this first playthrough and really just relax and play it. I'm not relaxing. It's fucking hard.
Yeah, normal.
On normal, yeah.
Normal.
I'm playing normal difficulty.
You guys play games to relax?
Fucking hard.
And no spoilers for what they are, but they added new enemy types.
Oh,
that come out of fucking nowhere.
Spooky, too. Mm-hmm. Like, they are doing really good. It's still a game me and Mike know really well, like the back of our hand. I've gotten jump scared. I've gotten, like, I've been super tense with areas I'm familiar with.
I'm holding my breath half the time.
As someone who played through this game once 18 years ago, I think it needs more enemy types.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, dude. Yeah. They're good, though.
It's doing it, yeah.
But there's a parry mechanic. You can duck now. You can dodge.
Once I learned parry,
dodge a wrench.
It became a lot easier.
Yeah. But yeah, the parry stuff was really fun because it now makes Leon's knife skills feel more relevant in actual combat instead of just cutscenes. But Me and Mike could literally gush about this forever, so we should probably
move on. I'm just glad that the Resident Evil franchise is the franchise with the most remakes.
I mean, if you think about it now, you can play 1 through 4 remade and go through 5, 6, 7, 8. And that's a pretty seamless experience. You're going to dip there for 5 and 6, but 7 and 8 are fucking awesome looking.
Yeah. Honestly, Resident Evil Remake 2 is like one of the best games they've ever made with Capcom, and this is probably going to rival it.
But to see RE Engine on Exoprimal and then Resident Evil 4, that thing can do everything.
It's versatile.
Yeah.
All the Monster Hunters are on it now. Dragon's Dogma 2 is going to be on it. It's a good engine.
It's the LS swap of gaming.
Yeah. Play anything else, Micah?
Nothing of note.
What about you, Mike?
No.
Yeah?
I've been all over the place this week, actually.
Again?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't stop.
Stay home.
Dude, I fucking hate ADD. It's a hell of a drug. So against my better judgment, with DLC around the corner, I finally caved after watching a myriad of lore videos on Elden Ring and started New Game Plus.
Yes.
Made a beeline right for the big boy greatsword, so I can now have two of them. And double bonk is the way. Made it to Godric in like 30-40 minutes.
Did you really run into Caelid immediately? Yes. And go find it? That's so funny.
I'm like, that way.
Doesn't New Game Plus change like item placement?
No.
No.
It just makes things more difficult. Well, more difficult. New Game Plus 1 isn't too bad.
I think item placement did change in some areas in one of the games.
In other Souls games,
okay.
Yeah. I thought Elden Ring is not like
that. I thought Elden Ring played
by the
same
static.
Rules. Okay. Fair enough.
Did some more Red Dead. Just played it passively here and there.
Is this your first time?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, having a good time. I just did the mission where you rescue what is it? Arthur's ex brother, younger brother from the cult, which was pretty funny.
What'd you do with the cult leader?
Just left him.
Huh.
It's a game over if you kill the cult leader.
Huh.
It's actually a special cutscene. It's pretty funny.
If you kill him?
Mm-hmm. Spoilers, it doesn't matter. It's an old game. And this is a really niche thing that gives you a game over anyway. If you kill the cult leader, all of them say like some crazy cult shit, and then they all jump off the cliff.
Nice.
And then game over.
Fucking love that game.
But I was really enjoying the environment of Red Dead 2. It's great. Kind of that whole like Central America feeling. Central North America. But I'm like, you know what? This is missing something. It's missing a bear companion named Cheeseburger. So I decided to boot up Far Cry 5.
I see.
As shitty of a company as Ubisoft is, Far Cry 5 is kind of fantastic.
Next-gen update?
I don't know.
It's not out yet.
One.
Oh, it's not out yet?
I can't confirm. Doug Dimmadome right now is playing it too, and I kept fucking pestering him. I'm like, accept my friend requested Ubisoft Connect. Let me jump in. He's like, no, I want single player.
Ow. Me and you did fuck around in that co-op for a small time.
Yeah. I would like just jump out of the helicopter and you're like, hey, why are you steering this thing weird? I'm like, oh, I'm not in it anymore.
Yeah, I just look over and I'm like, God damn it.
What are you doing? Oh, something else.
Man, when you think you play a game chaotically like Far Cry, play with Joe and understand that you are not playing that game.
Oh, yeah. Having played Divinity with the guy, like... You can't beat him to lootable things.
I am
my brain just blast processes the information on screen, and I know what I'm doing immediately, even if I've never played the game before.
What's Joe doing? Oh, I'm making out with a spider.
Oh yeah, that happened
twice.
I'm so scared to play Baldur's Gate 3 with him.
The dialogue has half a second between going to a cutscene, and he still managed to loot whatever there was. Like, oh, we have control for 2.2 seconds.
Is the shit shortcutted on his keyboard?
Don't worry about it.
What next?
In addition to all that, we sat down, Rose and I sat down and played Borderlands 2, and I think it really got her, it's claws in her this time.
Okay.
She's been wanting to play every night. We're level 18 now. We just got to the part where you teleported Sanctuary.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
great moment.
Yeah. What a perfect game.
So good.
Damn near. Good game.
I'm playing Krieg again. She's playing Maya. I'm like, oh, this is kind of like funny in a way.
Are you doing the emulator build on Krieg?
I'm doing the whatever the left tree is. I might change it and go to the Hellfire one.
Hellfire is fun.
Mm-hmm. I did the last time I did Krieg up to 72 was primarily the middle tree when you just lean into the ultimate, and that's a blast.
What was Krieg's like build or deal? Like, I never knew.
It's like a berserker mode.
Okay.
Yeah, you you basically rage, pull out the axe, and you damn near one-shot everything with melee.
There's a build for it where, like, you can add a dynamite stick to it and just throw it.
Isn't there a build where, like, your whole thing is just being on fire?
That's the hellfire.
Yeah.
If you spec right in the middle tree with Krieg, you basically can blast in the berserk state for almost ever.
Yeah.
Like, anytime you get a kill, it extends it by so much time, and you just fucking gun it.
It's like what you can do with Salvador.
Yeah. Hellfire build with Krieg was my favorite, but it is tough to manage.
I risk,
you can
I reward.
Easily kill yourself.
Mm-hmm. You light yourself on fire, and then you light others on fire.
That's what I'm looking for, like, when it comes to something like Diablo, is like that kind of deep build stuff you can do. Like, Destiny and stuff is just not scratching that itch.
I don't think you're going to get that from 4. You get that more from 2.
Seems like Redfall is kind of doing something like that.
We'll see.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm mildly curious about Redfall, but we'll see as it gets closer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is that all, Joe?
That is it for me this week.
Josh? For this week, I have unblacklisted a game that I have previously blacklisted myself from
playing.
That's called
whitelisting,
because I have. Yeah. Because I have impulse control problems.
You do?
Yeah, I've been playing Civ 6.
Nice.
Oh no.
That was, wow.
The one, the just one more turn game.
For you?
My God, guys, he's transparent.
I've been able to keep it under control.
Thank God.
Okay, I'm well rested.
Are
going
your kids
to bed
okay?
At a decent time. Everybody's okay, right?
Josh, this is a dream. You're still at your desk. Wake up, one more turn.
I got to give that coin back now, I guess. anyway, God, that game's so fucking fun.
It really is.
It combines like my love for history with RTSs, mm-hmm. and
just strategy. And
you can just play it with one hand.
Download
you can
do the game
with the mouse.
Mod.
So right. I was really
yeah.
big. I, was
and
really
I forgot
big
I owned
into,
it, and I was like, eh, okay.
I was really big into Civ 5. How's Civ 6 in comparison? If you know,
I played a lot of Civ 5 back in the day. I think 6 streamlines a lot of things.
Kind of what I've heard.
About quality life.
I don't think people hold it in as high of regard as 5. I think 5 might have been the superior game, but 6 is still just fucking more Civ.
It's Civ.
Not to take away from that, but a quick side story. I don't know if I told you guys this. So my girlfriend's really into board games and stuff like that. And she saw a TikTok at some point of someone and their boyfriend playing Hot Seat Civ 5 together. And she's like, do you want to play this? It's like a board game. And I'm like, baby, you have no idea what you're asking right now.
Right.
And I have a bad feeling that if we did that, I would probably completely conquer her nation by, and that's not a euphemism, by like the second era.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did to Japan. So
nice.
So playing as Rome, right?
Context.
And when Rome enters what the medieval period, you get access to the Legion, which is like just the best fucking like land unit available
and,
at the time.
And Rome and Japan are natural enemies.
And
go
I wiped
on.
Out Japan because he was mad at me because I had a different government than him. And I'm
what
like, douche, fuck you.
Now you're in my government.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what?
Serve me,
we're
bitch.
Done. I'm gonna surround you by a Legion. No, we're just passing through. I promise. And then declare war. Gandhi was fucking pissed.
What does he know?
Of course.
Of course he was.
Off to the north, fucking around in Delhi or whatever. So I wipe
out
Japan.
Get out of the Delhi, Gandhi.
Japan keeps giving me offers to not wipe him out. And I'm like, nah, it's not worth it. So I fucking wipe out Japan.
Yeah,
and
I
now
love warmongering.
The,
my God, Josh, look at the side of you. I've never seen it.
It's pretty fucking
Dude,
great,
it's
man.
Fun. Warmongering is the way in that game.
It yeah, really
it's,
is.
It's the best way to play.
It really is. Now the Roman Colosseum is built in a city with a Japanese name. So that's cool. There was
them.
A city state they were allied with. They got mad at me too, so I wiped them the fuck out. And it's taken Gandhi 1,000 years to like not be mad at me.
Man, that guy's got a lot of patience.
Yeah. So I've got the game like on the longest setting possible.
That's the way.
With no turn limit. And the only win condition is a domination victory. So I'm just letting Gandhi like just be, just let him finally not be mad at me and then realize his mistake. finally crossed the ocean, found fucking Cilia and Brazil. Brazil's automatically pissed at me because I have a different government than
are
them.
You
it's like, dude, what the fuck?
Are you telling me you came to Brazil?
I came to Brazil.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, listening to you talk about this just goes to tell me that I'm so glad I didn't buy Civ 5, which had the Game of Thrones mod. That just
buddy.
Changed it to Westeros and all the Game of Thrones characters, because that would have fucked me up.
Buddy.
Dude, Civ 5 was so much fun.
Civilization tickles the same part of my brain as XCOM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it's like, I need to eventually destroy those other two civilizations out to the west. And there's like a little tiny island. All the maps are randomly generated. There's a little tiny island between the two massive continents.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a base there now, like a city there. So I can like just produce a bunch of fuckload of naval units from there. I don't know, man. It does scratch that itch. And I've like got a beachhead on the other part of the continent where they're at.
It just makes me wish Age of Empires could have been much bigger in scale, because like that's the little differences between those two games for me. I like it's hard for me to switch over to Civilization from Age of Empires.
I don't know if you know this, but there is a there's a pretty good Civ knockoff that has some different features, and it's like high fantasy called Warlock. The only downside is it plays very well in the beginning of the game, but it's not well optimized. So when you get to the late game, your computer chugs.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Chug.
But it's great. I mean, there's like, instead of like crossing oceans, there's like multi-dimensional shit and you enter other planes. It's cool.
That does sound pretty good. There's a good like YouTube channel out there. It's a guy that just like breaks games and he breaks Civilization in weird ways. It's like, can I win without ever establishing a city? Yeah, you can.
Speaking of war crimes, now it's time for the news.
Oh, Jesus.
So there's some pieces of news here. I'm going to tell you about them. We're going to talk about it. Resident Evil 4 came out, breaking records on Steam.
Wow, surprise. Let's talk about that for 20 minutes.
Please.
All right, let's go into it.
Hey, we only talked about it for 10 minutes. Fuck off.
I know, it was 10 minutes too short, Michael.
True.
Cool, play it if you want to play it. There you go.
You're going to do that.
That's true. I'm going to play.
Look at you sticking to your own words.
I'm going
to
play.
Damn right.
I'm
going
to play.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic Ronin is actually going to be turned into a video game.
Mm-hmm.
It looks
the
dope.
Last Ronin.
The last Ronin. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You should be.
It's supposed to be like Ghost of Tsushima, right?
Well, apparently it's inspired by God of War.
Oh, that's
the development team said.
Who's the development team? Has that been said?
I'm not sure.
Fucking Teen Ninja. Which means the dialogue's going to suck dick.
No, I'm excited about it, though. It was a very popular modern comic book that came out revolving around, I can't remember which Ninja Turtle.
Michelangelo.
Is it Michelangelo?
Mm-hmm. Because that's the one you don't expect. You expect it to be Raphael.
Yeah.
And it's not. And that's what makes it, like, I'm not going to spoil anything. If you want to read it just to kind of get an insight of what it could be, there's plenty of YouTube videos that summarize it with the comic panels perfectly. And the story's really good. It's really gripping. And I'd be very curious to see how they pull this off, especially if they try to stick to a God of War, like, slower combat style, because I don't think it would benefit from that, but it would make sense. I don't know.
I'm not sure if it's the combat style or like the tone that they're trying to go for.
If that's the tone they're trying to go for, then perfect.
Man.
Yeah, it fits.
Yeah.
When's Transformers going to get some love? I want another Devastation.
There's another Transformers
Coming
out.
There's a Sick. Whole there's We're a whole there. Slew of Michael Bay films.
I don't think it's
I'm the sorry. What,
want
what the fuck did
and
you
that
say
is
to me?
Devastating.
There's a whole there's a Transformer called that, right?
Devastator. Yeah.
You know how Ubisoft is like great and all?
No,
they made a whoopsie and they admitted that, hey, we're using this new program that's writing AI dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, wait. When did they? Because I have assumed that around like Far Cry 5 or 6. So,
yeah. Yeah. Everyone's
it
like,
real took
oh.
a, it took a steep dive.
I could see a future where like dialogue is dynamic and it might be different every time you play. But that's way in the future where you can meaningfully interact with randomly generated dialogue.
But this
Otherwise,
is not that.
It's
this
not. Is, it's
that
just
should
like,
only be utilized by a person making a game by themselves.
Supposedly, it's all on the up and up, and our team of writers is working with this tool.
What team of writers?
I don't really know
writer
how they mean it, but whatever it is, this PR spin was terrible. I don't even really know if this is technically.
I think that
AI,
the same,
as much as it is like a super thesaurus.
You know? I think when you like, remember, when, like we'll take Ghost Recon Wildlands for example. When they showed off that game and there was a gameplay trailer, and it really showed off like the really cheesy dialogue between friends who never talk like that.
Yeah.
I think they just like took right. that PR team, went to them and said, hey, can we take your writers and we're just going to use them from now on? And then the AI is going to learn from them because their dialogue has been shit for a very long time.
You're right. We should let the machines do it.
Yeah. Main character dialogue, I feel like probably not good for, but if it were like stupid NPC dialogue,
chatter dialogue,
like in Barks. Fucking GTA 5, Witcher where you're walking around and you just hear the same lines
Witcher
over
3,
and over and over again. Yeah. Great use for that.
Can't wait for a Ubisoft game to drop the N-word.
It's so funny. All
right. So AI.
Are you sure we can't use that for a title?
So many instances of AI has
AI
happened.
Has become racist.
Back for Blood.
Oh yeah,
Back for Blood.
Yeah, that was the most recent incident where we were like, AI, "Hey, that like, zombie unleash, said the N-word."
If you unleash your AI to the internet and it gets connected, it's going to find all the cruelest shit possible.
It's going to turn into Kanye.
There was a Twitch comedian that they were like had an AI program running. running, like making AI generated jokes. And it got to the point where it started being anti-Semitic and started dropping the N-word.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't take long.
Nope.
Was it like the guy that played Kramer?
Yep.
Nice.
At this Funny enough, it was a Seinfeld thing.
At this point, I just want them to sell off their IPs like Ghost Recon, give that back to someone, give
Ubisoft.
That back to...
Hey,
and then
we'll
give Splinter Cell to somebody and then just dissolve.
Yep.
Like, just dissolve.
The thing, oh, man.
Rainbow Six, give that to somebody. Give that to Bungie or somebody.
No.
Give it to somebody who cares.
Yeah, fuck.
Dude. I was watching the internet historian go over... I think it was Todd Strauss, one of the like old pirates that crossed Blackbeard and all this stuff. It was a really, really
good story. You're talking about his like screen reading of the Sundance movie or whatever the hell it was?
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
Really I really enjoyed it. But
okay, check that out.
It made me really want to play a fucking pirate game. And I was just thinking about Black Flag again. I was like, apparently that character is in Black Flag. I was like, oh, shit.
I think there's I think there's a mod where you can just remove the Assassin's Creed from the game.
That thing
that's hilarious.
Perfect.
Is that they have Skull and Bones. I'm like, that could be a cool game.
But it
could have
been.
Like, I don't understand why you can't.
Because them.
Because Ubisoft.
Because Ubisoft.
Because they can't innovate on an idea. They just have to rehash the same thing over and over
again.
They
can't even do that, apparently.
Dude,
weird.
I'm waiting for, like, we need a nut. Like, there has to be a big company downfall.
No.
I feel like for other companies to be like, holy shit, this can happen. And I feel like it's going to be Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Like, they seem like the most on shaky legs.
For our next piece of news, Spider-Man 2 is coming out in September, according to rumors.
Cool.
Supposedly.
Well, because they just pushed back some other game that was... Starfield.
Oh, yeah.
Starfield got pushed to the same date as Spider-Man 2.
Huh.
So
Spider-Man 2.
Because that was the original release date for Spider-Man 2. Well, it has been for a while now since they re-announced it, but like... That would be wild if Starfield and Spider-Man dropped on the same day. I'll be honest with you, if I was Bethesda, I'd move that date again. Because I would not go up against Spider-Man, because that game is... This first one is rated so highly. 2018 Spider-Man is
one's
fantastic.
Only available on PlayStation, one's only available on Xbox.
And PC.
And PC.
And eventually Spider-Man 2 will be available on PC.
Eventually.
But the thing is like... I mean, Sony, if they were smart and they wanted to compete, you accelerate that window, and in 6 months after Spider-Man 2, that's available on PC. Like, that's the only way you're going to fight this by instead of going, hey, I don't want you to go through with that.
I don't need to fight it. Even the thing coming to Game Pass kind of just makes it almost trivial. Interesting.
Right.
Like Exoprimal.
Play both.
We're not paying for that full price. Yep. Game Pass.
Play both of them.
And Redfall.
Yeah.
I think.
Starfield. Yeah.
Imagine paying for Game Pass.
Imagine paying for free games.
For our last piece of news, Ash Ketchum is dead.
Yep.
Finally.
He's gone from our memory.
I killed him.
They brought the gun.
Oh my God, Michael!
They brought the gun episode back.
Oh shit.
The gun episode.
Porygon's Revenge.
I'm sorry, Pikachu. I gotta put you down.
Pika! It's my Pikachu, Pa. I'll do it myself.
Oh no.
So apparently Pokemon the anime is sunsetting the Ash Ketchum arc.
Yep.
That's done. He did it. He's a world champion.
He finally found that Ho-Oh after episode one.
Introduced in 1997.
Yep.
Retired 2023. Never saw the Dallas Cowboys make the playoffs. Never saw them make a championship game.
Did anyone happen to catch, because this was like apparently not just like a Cowboys. One episode send off. This was like a 10 episode thing where like it was like his entire, like this was 10 episodes of like them closing this out.
That's good.
Did he get to Ho-Oh? I mean, they showed a Pokemon from Gold and Silver in the beginning of this anime. Dude, he got the GS ball, like that gold and white ball, like forever ago. Like, I don't know if most of it's
your knowledge
yet.
Of the Pokemon lore surprises me.
Yeah. Like, dude, it came out in 1997. I was 7 to 8 years old. Like, Red and Blue and Yellow were huge for me.
Those
like,
are colors.
I loved those games. I watched that anime forever. Like, once they get those 10 episodes or whatever dubbed, I will watch those and I will probably cry.
Like, those colors were big for a lot of
I love Pokemon, dude. That was like, you know, that's for a lot of people, baby's first RPG. Like, for me, that is Pokemon.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Top.
Wait. I got a piece of news.
Oh, God damn it.
So I read this from PC Gamer the other day. I shared it with you.
Oh, yeah.
And the headline is, Final Fantasy 16 squeeze holes have gamers in a flap.
What?
Go on.
We're talking about loading screens. We're
talking about plump
disguised loading holes. Screens.
Yeah, squeeze holes. You get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like from Sons of the Forest. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So loading screens.
So apparently, some of the footage that they were showing actually showcased some of these, you know, tight gaps that your character squeezes through, which is a disguised loading screen to pull in the next area. And it makes sense because the game looks incredibly detailed. I'm sure it's going to be a very demanding game, but the biggest complaint people are saying is, why do we have this featured on a next-gen game on such advanced hardware that we have? And it's kind of a mixed bag on that one, man.
If the developers felt like they had to do it, they did it. I'm sure they would not have it in the game if it was a possibility.
It's kind of a bullshit complaint, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. They felt like they needed squeeze holes.
Hey, I will take. I will genuinely.
Now we're in a flap.
I love squeeze holes.
I will genuinely take squeeze hole over loading screen.
Yeah, I'll be in the flap for that squeeze hole
anytime.
Absolutely. Yeah, like. I have a fondness for certain load screens like Skyrim and stuff, but it's like
I personally take most a squeeze games just hole like, over most things.
Yeah, just take me, get me through a good hole, and let me keep going.
The
yeah.
I think the most
squeeze
prominent.
I'm coming through that hole, man.
Yeah, I think the first time I ever noticed a squeeze hole was in
I was 13 years old.
I think so. In Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, because they advertised no loading screens, but you went through all those subways.
Oh, yeah. Uncharted 2 was my first squeeze holes. Uncharted 2, man.
That's going to be a topic. What's your favorite squeeze hole?
Did God of War 3 have squeeze holes?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God damn those squeeze holes.
Now it's time for the topic.
What's your favorite squeeze hole?
Welcome to the 2023 roast of Micah McGowan. That's right, it's his birthday, and we are gonna celebrate by talking some shit about this fucking playlist he made us listen to. And by golly, was it?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Stole my joke, you piece of shit.
It starts off with a fucking bang with Hurt by Johnny Cash, which is like, this playlist is going to be depressing. First song I ever learned on guitar.
A bang, you say?
Yeah, that makes sense. If I may suggest, I might replace it with this version.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain.
Love it.
Thank you. Do you ever think something in your life is so sacred nothing could ever take a shit on it?
No.
Today, as I know better, you could take a shit on Johnny Cash's
That's your
hurt.
Fault.
I hurt Micah today.
Yeah.
Me and Mike did that to each other earlier.
That's a fucking you problem, boy.
So I fashioned the playlist as best I could, kind of accelerating my taste in music. But the first three songs do kind of hold like special place. Hurt is obviously the first song I ever learned on guitar. Black Velvet.
I like that song.
And Use Me by Bill Withers. My family used to hold karaoke nights like all the time. Mm-hmm. And my mom, who's like, you know, my mom is fun. She's awesome, but she's pretty timid.
She's a nice lady.
I just remember her doing that karaoke song and just fucking ripping Black Velvet and just being like, my mom's fucking badass.
Okay.
So I just have like a very strong affinity for like those two songs after Hurt because they were just cycled through karaoke all the time through my family. And Bill Withers unintentionally just has like great music that is like funky, but super dark and depressing. Like, he has a song called Better Off Dead.
Oh.
Use Me was a good song.
Use Me is fantastic.
Yeah.
What was the first question was favorite, obviously, right?
Yes, favorite song. Well, let's put it through the grinder, not the app. But you know what I mean.
Don't reveal my secrets.
Number one, favorite song.
The one that I would probably say is my favorite that caught me off guard is actually Loops by Lydian Collective.
Not fair, mine too.
It kind of hit that, like, that old school prog rock feel for me in a lot of ways. And I'm like, I remember listening to it in the car while driving to work in the morning, and I'm just like, the vibe. I love this.
That's when that song hit me too. And listening to it, I didn't know if it was a newer group or an older group. And that's kind of cool to me.
I like that. Yeah.
So there's a song on the playlist that is an influence from each of you. And Loops is actually from Josh.
Oh, cool.
Unintentionally, because I listen to a lot of Synthwalker. And so Spotify will like shoot through other music, and that song came through.
Oh, that's cool.
I wonder what mine is.
Huh. Who knows? If I were picking songs I've never heard before from this playlist, that would be my number one.
That's kind of what I was leaning towards.
Yeah. But my favorite song on the playlist is Nighttime Disguise.
Yeah.
It's such a good song, dude.
Nighttime Disguise is great.
Nighttime Disguise replaced all of my Led Zeppelin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's
dude, Leprous is fucking...
That's the best song by far on that playlist.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I agree with Josh. I'm stealing his opinion from my own and making it better. That's it.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, Loops was mine. I have not heard that song before, and I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
This is hitting my brain in ways I did not expect hit.
Yeah. Like I said, I tried to do something with, like, putting it all in a specific order in terms of, like, making it all flow the best I could. Because I had to try to get it from blues and sad shit to, like, eventually getting it all the way over to clowncore.
Yeah. How do I bring this up?
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Next question. Least favorite song?
Cars Hiss by My Window.
Cars Hiss by My Window. Yep.
Fucking easy.
Fuck that song.
I thought it was kind of a vibe.
I like the Doors.
I like the Doors. I don't like that song.
I have an affinity for the Doors, and I love how dumb Jim Morrison is sometimes. Oh, yeah. So when he's like, I'm as good as a guitar player playing a solo, it's like, no, you're not, but I'll listen to you fucking try.
We were talking about this. We were trying to remember his name. We couldn't.
Yeah.
Jim Morrison.
It sounds like I rolled up on a band practice and they were all pretending so hard to, like, try really hard to do the least amount possible to still consider it music.
It was Cars Hiss by My Window or Peace Frog by the
and
Doors.
And then, like, every line was just about, yeah, cars in my window. Yeah. Yep, look at that. That's crazy. Look, and then the last line is him going, like, a lady could just murder you in a room. Like, that's crazy. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's...
What do you mean? Yeah. And then somebody has the fucking audacity in the background to go, woo!
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Does anyone have anything for Simply Red?
That is my least favorite song.
Yeah.
So
it was definitely next in line.
That song is fucking hilarious.
So the lyrics are hilarious.
My dad showed me that song. Is like, I'm good. My dad one night driving home was like, because my dad and me would share music back and forth, and he's like, I'm going to show you a song that is the funniest song I've ever heard. Now, mind you, my dad knows I love Weird Al and all that kind of weird shit, which no Weird Al made it because that would have fucking taken up a lot of my playlist.
Yeah,
but he showed me Simply Red. Oh, so beautiful. That song is fucking hilarious to me.
You're beautiful, but oh so boring.
Does anyone even really care about the colors in your hair? Like, all of it is just, I've been there, and I find that song fucking hilarious.
Here's the problem I've got with it. It's like, oh, this chick sucks. She's so boring. I'm going to roast her in a song that's as boring as fucking possible.
Yes.
Like, the song is just,
you,
like,
don't get it. It's meta.
I'm listening to it. I'm bringing up my phone. I'm like, oh my God, how's this five and a half minutes?
I'm changing my answer.
Yeah.
It also has one moment in that song where he to himself goes,
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, you motherfucker.
Boom.
But to me, that's so funny, dude.
It's like the asshole,
like,
anthem.
I could have played plenty of comedy music. I even have Tenacious D on this playlist, not doing one of their classic songs of comedy. But it's like, there's something about a song being done seriously that's like, hey, this chick's beautiful as shit. She's so fucking boring. Like, I just love that, dude.
Oh, let's see.
What else we got?
Any direct... assume direct influences.
I would say you're definitely someone who was raised listening to Led Zeppelin and
blues and classic rock.
Yeah, blues, classic rock. What was the other band? I mean,
he owns a PRS. Like, let's be real.
Yeah. I'll think of it in a minute. But you're definitely raised on classic rock.
A lot of.
I'd say a lot of us are. We're in some degree. So
yeah, for sure. Actually,
the blues in particular. Yeah, it stuck out to me, like, your way of, like,
you listen to a lot more blues than the rest of us.
No, like, for sure.
Your influence in playing guitar and the riffs that you've written in the past and the solos that you come up with, various, like, bendy notes, like soulful stuff. Absolutely. Let's see, number four. What genre sticks out the most?
Blues. Yeah.
Yep. Blues.
It was fun trying to, like, encore. Get to that, like, peak or over the hill of, like, genre.
Adult contemporary.
Well, like, just trying to get over, like, the
that's fine.
Like, using, like, Bulls on Parade, because that's like a video game influenced song.
Yeah, but
getting over the hill, then it's like Bloom, Avenged Sevenfold, Periphery, like all of these songs that, like, and you know, Coheed and Cambria, like, oh, protest the heroes rich. Like,
I think maybe my favorite transition was going from Logic to animals as leaders, because it worked.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really smooth transition there.
The obsession I had over the transitions of these songs.
Word heavy to no words at all.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Instrumental probably stands out a lot too, as like a genre. Yeah. Love instrumental music.
Yeah, but your playlist broke the rules and you have video game music in here, so...
Disqualified.
Disqualified.
Well, that's technically two songs then.
Well, you can't...
Because Bulls on Parade is on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Unfortunately, yeah, now you can't win the prize.
It's licensed. It's different.
Yeah.
most relatable song.
But Richard IB's wasn't made for a game either.
You know what? Fuck that.
Chemical Plant Zone?
No,
Chemical Plant Zone is a video game song, but that song wasn't made for a video game.
I'm done with it, all right?
I'm just saying, technicality.
Number five is what's the most relatable song? For me, it's the Final Cut, for reasons obvious.
Yeah. No, Coheed was obviously there because of Kyle.
And we watched them play that song for 30 minutes.
And it was amazing. At Freebird. At Freebird, it was amazing. With a Stormtrooper helmet on.
Mine's Nighttime Disguise, bud.
Yeah, Joe's influence was obviously Leprous.
I saw that at the end there, and I'm like, I did that.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
Most relatable song.
Oh, most relatable song.
My most
relatable. Computers by Clunkwork.
Damn it, Michael. I was going to say that.
You should have said it faster.
Because I often scream riding around in a van.
Yeah. That's my joke answer, but my actual answer is probably Creating God by Avenged Sevenfold. Because I really love that song.
Yeah. Mike's on there for a couple times for really getting me into Avenged Sevenfold more, but then The Periphery, obviously The Walk.
The Perry.
Which, man. I'm just super upset no fighter comes out to The Walk by Periphery. Like, they're just missing an opportunity right there.
Over in the Discord, Hey There Ryan writes in with, dude, you love drums and that makes me happy. I'm not sure if you do play drums or if that's just the stem of this playlist, but I love it because of that.
Yeah. The Benny Greb in there is a big...
Benny Greb is
a big point.
I've also never heard that version of Tom's Diner, and it's so groovy.
It's really cool.
Yeah. A thing that didn't make it in, because I wanted to put three musicians that are in separate bands that I wish would play together, and that's Benny Greb. He made it on. Dan Briggs from Trioscapes for the song Blast Off, which did not make it on the playlist. And then Guthrie Govan from the Aristocats.
Oh, what a super group.
Dude, like, if I could make a super group right now, that would... And there's plenty of other virtuoso musicians. Andy James, Angel, like the guy from Plenty, Aaron Marshall. Like, virtuoso is guitar playing, like... There's so many of them you could kind of put them in anywhere, but
man. I gotta read these because our DM wrote in on the Discord. Dr. Throwpunch writes in with number one favorite, The Last in Line, so good. Least good favorite, song. Black Velvet. Sometimes I just hate Micah's mom so much. I know that she used to sing karaoke, and that was bullshit. I was in that bar. I know what the fuck happened.
It wasn't at the bar. It was at the house. How are you there?
Something about that song always makes me feel like it's missing too much or needs something to be good. Not Micah's mom.
Then listen to Leo, the guy from Frog Leap Studios, who does all those metal covers. He does a metal cover of it. Yeah.
Influences Clowncore. Fits Micah's personality as I know it. Limited though it is. He feels...
It's
up to your discretion.
Both of them.
I feel he delights in leading people to expect one thing, then throwing them something left field. Don't know about musical influences, though.
I love Clowncore, man. That song, especially because that sax solo is so goddamn good.
The blues stood out the most. Most relatable. Use Me. And for our next question, we can go ahead and get into that. What about the playlist structure?
It's like a roller coaster, man. You're going up and up and up and up with the adult contemporary, the blues.
And it never drops.
I feel
just go up.
And then it gets super fast and crazy with some of the metal in there as you're going down.
Yeah. I have a very different opinion. I feel like I'm listening. I'm at a bar and the Touch Tunes thing is just playing adult contemporary and some asshole keeps putting prog shit on it.
Hell yeah. It's me.
And it's like Joe's just at a bar with
I'm like, dude,
Tunes.
Did you guys know A Change of Seasons by Dream Theater's on Touch Tunes and it costs the same as a regular song? What? We're listening to that six times.
I found it interesting that it took 11 songs for you to get to something that would be considered metal.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting
Which is 12 Foot Ninja's Deluge. Deluge. And I was actually listening to it. And I was like, would this one even be considered metal? And then it gets to that.
It
does.
End, yeah.
It does. Yeah. Like, it gets to the end and like he hits that note. I'm just like,
but that was kind of the point, too. Is like, I just have a ton of influence that is not metal. And like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely. That's just how it goes. Like, that's what I loved about using that song was like it doesn't get there till the end, and then that's when it starts to kick, you start to
dip your toe into that heavier stuff.
Well, that's what's fun about this whole thing is it's subjective.
Yeah. True. Yeah, entirely.
Like that's the thing is you'll notice like, and then to me, like if I'm being honest, Leprous is the epitome of my musical choice come together in a band, which is they can do the slow jam shit. They can do the heavy prog stuff. That singer's got, he can go anywhere I want. Like, that is why, to me, I took all the Led Zeppelin off and just put Leprous on, because to me, they are like a Led Zeppelin of our time. Like, where do you want them to go? They will go there and fucking crush
that
it.
That is a hell of a compliment.
Yeah, that's good.
I fucking love Leprous. One of my favorite bands. Good.
Yeah, when we were talking about it earlier, I was like, I'm really surprised there's no Led Zeppelin there. So that makes sense. Yeah.
Next, what other music would fit on this playlist?
Led Zeppelin.
See, you said it faster. Like you're getting better. So
Trioscapes didn't make it on here. Trioscapes, I love. But BT Bam made it on, obviously, with Bloom.
Yeah,
but
that's also a banger of a song.
I was going to have Albuquerque on here by Weird Al, because that is one of my favorite.
Weird Al, for sure.
Weird Al, Albuquerque is just one of my favorite songs, but it didn't make it on here. Just because it was too long, and I feel like I couldn't get the other things on here.
I like some Clapton, maybe.
Oh, trust me. Yeah. There was... I could have easily put... This the song where he sings about his son. I could have easily put that on there.
Oh, no.
Tears from Heaven. Oh. Yeah. Like, again, it could be sadder. Say, I'm a sad man. I just don't. Yeah.
Some Neil Diamond.
There was a Life Without You made it on there, but there was going to be Life by the Drop by Stevie Ray Vaughan. I had his version of Little Wing on there first because that covered Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan, so I had to kind of pull that off. Like, there was a lot of stuff I had to kind of fuck around with.
What insight did you gain from the curator?
I don't even know
slow
who this
jams.
Fucking
I think
guy
you just
is.
Like grooves. Like yeah, more grooves. Than anything, grooves is what you speak to. Like even with the Coheed, like you pick the one of the grooviest, like slow, like bluesy ass fucking song that they got. Same with like almost any of these. Aside, like
there's a couple
even
that aren't.
Bloom, like
it's got a groove to it.
As weird as it is, it's like swing. You know, like it's just going places.
The goal when writing music, whenever the few things that I did write and contribute, was you had to be able to bob the head to it. Like that was the groove I was thinking about
that while listening to it.
I think you and this can take go from your music to who you are as a person. You take something that's captivating and you stretch it out to basically to prolong it so everyone can enjoy it for as long as possible. Yeah. It's prevalent in your stories, some of your musicality. Shit, when you don't stop talking about Destiny, oh my God.
When you know what you like.
But there is a thing, there's a fine line between this riff is sick and it'd be awesome to hear it for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah,
you
but
got
there's
it.
The joy in only getting it for 30.
Right.
So some
30 minutes?
30. But for like 30 seconds. So like it is that fine line, but like a lot of my music does fill in with the groove. Like I just love that stuff.
The insight I gained is that Micah's mom did karaoke.
We learned a lot today.
We learned a lot today.
Yeah.
Nice lady.
She's a nice lady.
Very nice.
Genuinely.
What mental illness fits the curator?
Narcolepsy.
Sleepy time.
Yeah.
I was going to say Alzheimer's.
Old people music.
Oh, man.
Because like so many of the songs have a repetitive nature to them.
Fetal alcohol syndrome.
Are we talking about Micah or the playlist?
Yo!
Yes.
Yeah, we're roasting you now. It's official. It's a fucking
roast.
He
said it was a roast.
That's true. No, I cooked. What the fuck? Why are you being mean?
Seasonal depression, I think.
Well, seasonal roast. What the fuck? Anyway.
I would even go as far to say like bipolar. Like obviously the beginning of it, you're down. You're trying to feel your way through it. Then it gets very manic when it starts getting heavy.
Yeah, I gotta say, I give mood swings like a 0.5 out of 10. But now I'm giving them a 10 out of 10.
I get it.
What video game goes best with this playlist?
Ooh.
I didn't think about that.
I didn't either.
It might have like a good case for GTA.
I think like Mafia for some reason. I don't know why.
The PS1 classic NASCAR 2003.
Why?
NASCAR
Thunder.
The Sega arcade cabinet Daytona 500.
There you go.
Oh, yes.
The fact that none of you just straight out didn't say Destiny is a shock to me.
This would be terrible to play Destiny.
But I've done it.
It would definitely.
When I played Destiny, I exclusively listened to Purity Ring and Fallujah.
So
like,
never?
Mixed together.
So you never do it?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I've literally not listened to them since I played Destiny 1. So, yeah. That's
game wise, it would have to be anything freeform that has its ups and downs, such as GTA or Mafia. That's
clearly something without a ton of dialogue.
Yeah.
Or with, which, by the way, Reclaimed did not make it on, but it was on originally because I do genuinely love the fucking shit out of that song.
Oh, really?
And I listen to it so much that I do listen to that song and a bunch of other stuff when I play Destiny.
Cool.
Reclaimed was playing during the ending of Season of the Seraph Destiny shit, and the song lined up perfectly with them deactivating like this main character, and like there was the drop in the music, and then when it all came back, like shit hit the fan in the cutscene, and I was like, if I didn't think I could like the song anymore, the fact that it just happened to fit right here, like
that's awesome.
It was just one of those moments to the point where I was like, I had to like make sure I was recording something on my screen, but I wasn't. I was super bummed out. Like I couldn't believe it fit.
That's cool.
That's right.
I love that.
Reclaimed by the Infinity Cinema. Fucking listen to it.
Yeah, listen to it. I fucking love that
song. We're good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Micah, for making a playlist for us.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
It was a lot of fun. Before we go into the whose turn it is next, I do want to like give my thanks to all the people in the Discord for joining in on this awesome
as
well.
Making some playlists, yeah.
There are some great playlists out there.
Yeah, after we're done with ours, I thought about listening to everyone's and doing like a rapid fire. Like, let's go through all of these.
I think that's a great idea.
It'd be fun.
Maybe during our live show, instead of spending our live show going over one of ours, maybe we can go over some of the listener ones.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Because I've already started listening to Double Teary's, obviously our DM.
Mm-hmm.
I've started Hurricanes as well. There's some great ones out there, and people are really getting involved. And I've had several friends reach out to me saying like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna make one too and post it up there."
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I've had a few friends do it as well, and they just send them to me, and I'm like, hey, "I'm just gonna listen to these."
Another reason to go to the Discord.
Yep. Gives me insight into who you are as a person, and I learn about new music. And that's my favorite.
And I said it in the Discord. I think the 2 hour mark really is the perfect.
It's pretty sweet.
Spot.
It's a pretty sweet spot.
Yeah. It's too short. I can't fit enough music in 2 hours.
That's part of the challenge.
But we're talking about listening to other people. I feel like someone handed me a 10-hour playlist. I'm like,
speaking of listening to other playlists, who we got next?
Who we got next? Let's spin the wind, baby.
Between me, Joe, and Mike.
I think if it lands on Joe, he should just go last because it's his idea.
No. Joe.
Is it Joe?
It's Joe.
Oh, shit.
Here we go.
Into the Joe playlist now.
Fun week.
No.
I hope you guys like anxiety and two gas pedals.
Sure. So thanks for listening to the Metal Gamers podcast. We'll be listening to the Joseph Diffy Bob podcast next week.
You hear that? I'm in charge.
Well, isn't next week the live show?
Oh, whatever, man. We'll figure it out. Next week's the live show. That'll be fun. That'll be an interesting thing to do.
Or I can give you guys 2 weeks with this. You're going to need it.
And next week's going to be the halfway mark.
To what?
The next rum.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing we do sometimes.
Did you hear that?
Is it storming outside?
Hear that rumbling in the distance?
I don't know. There's no
rumbling.
Clouds.
Interesting.
I shit myself, sorry.
Yeah.
We got another pair of pants.
Listen to Metal Place of Video Games.
Find me some pants.
Listen to the Guild of Inspiration, because we're about to do that now.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
We love us of it now.
All right.
Now on fucking everything.
Now yeah, on I did fucking it. Everything.
I did it. It was so easy.
Yeah, well, I don't have, like, Apple shit, so
I know.
Of course it was
easy. I sold my soul to make it easy.
We'll be right back.
either you bring the abuse on yourself or you're being gaslighted. And I don't think you're being gaslighted.
No, I'll bring it.
You definitely bring it on yourself.
I'm highly aware that I like
nobody's being.
Is it the competitive spirit?
I played Dead or Alive 3 and I handed Joe the controller first.
What is wrong with you?
Because I know I can hand him anything and he's just going to adapt instantaneously.
But you can't hand him his ass?
What?
You can't hand him his ass? You can't beat his ass and then
eat his ass.
Eat his ass, Kyle. Eat Joe's ass. Show him who's boss.
I got to keep throwing him new fighting games so I can beat him once and then stop forever.
He's the taskmaster.
He literally beat you the first. Didn't he beat? Or no, you did come back around.
No, okay, I won.
What? Nash in here?